2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another DFS Army Vegas Lines NFL Breakdowns podcast. My name is Kevin Allen. I am your host. I've got my man, Season Long Says, here with me, as well as my man, Fidon, a.k.a. Ryan Besh, in the house. What's up, guys?
Are we joined by your cat as well that's meowing in the back?
Can you hear the cat?
Does somebody need to check your basement? Do you have something going on there?
There is a cat in the room.
That's all right.
Let the cat get out.
Let the cat host. I like that.
Hang on.
Show us the cat.
We literally are going to have to do this intro.
No. I think we leave the intro. I think the people will enjoy the cat.
People want to see the cat.
I have to get up and let the cat.
Go ahead. I want to talk to Ryan anyway for a minute. Hey, Ryan. Last week you were really helpful with the betting angles. Was there any particular plays? I mean, you know, I was in on the Colts. We hit there. Anything else that you saw as a lock can be that really came in?
Well, in a different sport, we put a max bet. I rarely do max bets. We had a max bet on UCF -9, and they blew Stanford out of the water. I didn't think Stanford had a chance, so we made a lot of money there. That was a massive bet for us to win.
Wow, max bet. Anytime you have a max bet, call me. I'm interested. All right, let's go back. Let's go back to the geek. You were saying we were talking a little bit of our betting stuff while you were taking care of your cat. Real man has a cat, right?
You got to get a cat. The cat is a man's best friend. There's no doubt about it. And it's not as much work to take care of than a dog. But here we go. Vegas Lines breakdowns. We're going to break down every game from a Vegas Lines angle, for betting angles and daily fantasy sports angles. We're going to get you prepped for week 3 of the NFL season. We are brought to you, as I said before, by Fantasy Draft, the only rake-free daily fantasy sport. Guys, you got to be playing here. We got to support this idea. Rake-free daily fantasy sports. We will talk about that a little bit more, but let's get right into week 3.
Yeah, so last week was a very interesting week of NFL. A lot of the lines were tricky. We saw a lot of, but this week, now we're starting to learn who these teams are. So Cincinnati is going to go visit Buffalo, who all of a sudden is 2-0 in the AFC East. They are favored by 6 points at home. Ryan, what do you think? Where's the money going in this one?
Well, first off, shout out to Geek and Your Says' season-long rankings, which put Josh Allen as one of the highest value QBs. You guys saw this coming, so you guys can take a bow. And I have Josh Allen in our DFS Army Fantasy League that Kevin could not take. He decided to take Jared Goff instead.
Also Lamar Jackson, my number 7 ranked guy, was taken by Says' wife because she reads the damn rankings too. And I'm like, shit, all of my fucking choices are gone. They're gone. It's tough to draft in a league where everybody else has your rankings.
All the value gets sucked out of our draft because we put out those rankings.
Exactly. But anyway, on the betting lines, there's a ton of money and ton of bets coming in on the over. The line has already moved from 40.5 to 44. People are seeing what Cincinnati gave up to San Francisco last week and think Buffalo is going to do that again. And Cincinnati's offense, as you saw in our props last week, actually produced some decent points. So they see both offenses doing pretty well this week.
Says, I have a question for you on this one. A couple years ago, Sean McVay took over for the Rams, right? Before that, the Rams were a shit offense. Can we agree on that? Who was the coach of the Rams before?
Jeff Fisher, one of the all-time worst.
Now, who is one of the other all-time worst coaches ever for any offense? First name, Marvin.
Last name, Lewis.
There we go. So, essentially, we have a situation that's very similar to what happens with the Rams. And we were talking about this earlier, Keg and I, on the Look Back pod, how Cincinnati appears to have be changing the dynamic for their unexciting, crapola, fantasy points dungeon of an offense into something very exciting. And I'm not sure that anything has caught up with it yet. So that's the only angle I'm going to talk about right here is just new coaching staff. We all still think of Cincinnati and Andy Dalton as like the ultimate meh team. And instead, we have to start thinking of this team as an exciting offense. Says, do you agree? And not Ryan, only, are we betting the over in a second? I'll say that.
Yeah, not only do I agree, it just, you know, it wasn't too long ago that Andy Dalton was being talked about in the MVP consideration. And he does have the baseline of skill it takes to make an offense, an NFL offense, go. It's not a coincidence that the ninth overall pick, the guy with 4.2 speed, John Ross, has just did nothing over the first 2 years. And now all of a sudden, it just takes a competent coach to unlock him. I couldn't agree more. We always were disappointed by Cincinnati's offense. And again, it just took the right offensive-minded coach. They're actually running real modern NFL offenses. Cincinnati is going to score points.
That's what I'm talking about. So just in a real quick DFS angles, and Ryan, I was going to ask you, I mean, do we like the over on this game? You have sort of a situation here where, you know, conservative kind of offenses, Buffalo, pretty good defense, but this Cincinnati Bengals team has really been exploding in terms of their offensive production.
Yeah, I think the over is definitely in play. I think that one weird thing that we're seeing is Cincinnati's not running the ball as much. And so you're thinking Cincinnati, they're going to run the ball. They've had these great running backs, but they're coming out and they're throwing the ball early and often. So I do see a lot of points being scored.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this and that 44-point total thinking, and maybe that's a little low. So for a DFS perspective from this game as a whole, I continue to love. I mean, the first thing I look for is who is the running back for Buffalo, and not really sure. So we're going to have to see. But Cincinnati has been getting torched by opposing running backs just nonstop, whoever it is. As a matter of fact, last week, three running backs exploded against this team where Breida, Mostert, and Wilson Jr. all put up amazing scores. So if I knew who the running back was from Baltimore this week, I'd be very excited to play them. I always love Allen. I always love John Brown, the sheriff.
Are you talking about, though? So it's going to be Frank Gore this week. Devin Singletary has a hamstring. They're saying he could be out about 2 weeks. I think it's going to be longer.
Probably you think Frank Gore is like a lock as opposed to TJ Yeldon just getting those looks?
Yeah, no, it's a lock. Frank Gore is going to handle about 18 touches or so. TJ Yeldon will be used. He's been getting like zero up until now. So TJ Yeldon will be in use for like a 7 to 8 carry, maybe a 7 to 8 touch role. But I mean, this is it for Frank Gore. This is the last hurrah, and he's still chugging along. I'm not saying these are going to be efficient carries, but he could see 20 plus touches in a very pedestrian sort of role.
Tough to trust Frank Gore and his 4 yard smashes, but just to go through this game real quick. This is one of the games, oddly, with that low total that I do kind of like for DFS purposes. You never like to play a lot of offensive players against Buffalo at Buffalo. They tend to be a good defensive team. They've been decent just for the last couple of years, but obviously John Ross and Tyler Boyd had good games last week. We want to kind of keep that going. And like I said, on the Buffalo side, man, you just want to play running backs against Cincy, but I'd feel a lot better if it was Yeldon as the primary guy.
All right. So moving on to the next game, I think that was a really smart breakdown, what you said. Yeldon could be a sneaky play there. Miami is visiting Dallas. This is the craziest line I think I've seen in the NFL in 3 years. Usually these type of lines, when they are rare, minus 21 Dallas home is reserved for New England at home, but Miami getting the high school varsity treatment. I mean, Ryan, if you were forced to make a $100 bet on this, you got to put the money on Miami, right? This is the Vegas is begging you to take Dallas here.
I mean, I would put it on Dallas. I think everyone is saying that Miami is the worst team in NFL history this year.
Well, what's the number that you would take Miami? What's the actual number that would force you to the other side?
I think 30. I mean, I really think it's that high where, you know, they got shut out last week.
Okay, so
they truly didn't care.
Okay, so if I get Miami plus 29, you're letting me take Miami against you? Should we do a friendly wager? We'll bet one Jersey Mike sandwich?
How about if I win, you give me like 9 because you can easily hedge your side.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But
he's legitimately looking at this as a hedged bet. He's like, well, Alan's going to bet $3 to cover the sandwich cost. on the local book.
Hey, I'm just out of college. I gotta be careful where my money's going.
Such a numbers man.
He's such he's still eating ramen noodles.
But anyway, so I think the betting angle for this, as well as the New England game, are definitely on the unders. I think what you're seeing is that Miami and the Jets are just horrible offenses, and shutouts are definitely likely. And I think that's where all the sharp bettors are going, focusing on the under. So that's kind of where I would put my money if I had to in this game.
Geek, where's the fantasy angles on Miami? I don't even want to talk about Dallas yet because there are some fantasy goodies that I think are hidden besides the obvious. Talk about the one where the sneaky value is in Miami. Who's going to score some fantasy points?
It's not likely we're going to see many fantasy points being scored by Miami, but I continue to think that at some point, this ridiculously horrible coaching staff will figure out that Kalen Ballage is a complete turd and at least give Kenyon Drake the football a little bit. I mean, they don't play him when they're behind. They don't play him when they're ahead. He's the only guy who's any good on the entire team. I don't get it. But like, no, there's nothing else. There's nothing else.
That's okay, it. So is this the week we see Josh Rosen in the second half? If it's like, 28-3, might we see him in the second half?
No reason.
He played last week.
Oh, he did play last week?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to trot out the old man anymore. He's clearly he clearly doesn't care. So you might as well throw Rosen to the Wolves. I don't even think Rosen is the answer there. I think they're going to get that first pick, and they'll get themselves a beautiful new quarterback this year.
So Rosen's going to get Rosen again?
I mean, he's going to get Rosen. Don't get me started on Rosen. I wish they did a Hard Knocks in Miami so you could learn this guy's actual personality and you'd understand why Arizona jettisoned him real quick. But here's the angle on this game. First of all, tell me about Devin Smith, Alan. What's his deal?
Okay, so Devin Smith, I'm glad you brought him up. You heard me say it last night on the Waiver Wire podcast. So the Jets drafted him a couple years ago in the second round. He was a second round receiver with elite level speed.
I remember.
As most guys on the Jets, they don't always work out. So he was kind of cast off into fantasy Neverland. And smartly, Dallas picked him up. The one thing they're missing is a speed receiver. And he got his opportunity last week. And what did he do? He caught a long ball. This guy is peak Deshaun Jackson level fast. He actually has really good hands. And now he's going to get an opportunity to play with Michael Gallup out. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar. He's going to be a volatile receiver for fantasy. But he is a real player. There's a reason he went in the second round of the real NFL draft.
A lot of injuries with this guy early on in his career that were derailing him as well. And no one was going crazy for that draft pick. But, I mean, Devin Smith is your affordable piece in that lineup because he is replacing an injured starter. And it just makes sense that, you know, that Dallas would play toss and catch in this game against against this horrific Miami defense. The real question for me in this game is how much Zeke are we going to get before they put him on the shelf and kind of like put in Pollard? So do I think there's an opportunity here for normally you look at this game and go, oh my God, Zeke is going to get 3 touchdowns here. But is he, or are they just going to kind of like get up by 21, 28 points real quick and then put in Pollard and let him kind of mop it up, you know, in the third quarter? So there is some risk here of a smashing. But even with that risk, I think Zeke gets you 100 yards and a touchdown and maybe a couple of receptions. So I think Zeke, even in they pulled him in the third quarter scenario, does pretty well. Besides that, you know, this is one of those games where you're not looking for a back and forth. You're just looking for a smashing. And so there's always a little bit of risk of they taking that foot off the gas pedal and kind of just cruising to a win once they get up by 21-28. But there should be 4 touchdowns. You just have to hope if you play these offensive players that most of those touchdowns don't come from the Dallas defense.
All right, we're just going to take a quick break before we go on to the next one. Our friends at Fantasy Draft, who are sponsoring this podcast, Fantasy Draft, the only rake-free daily fantasy site in the biz, has partnered with the Geek's favorite restaurant, Hooters, to bring you the largest guaranteed rake-free contest lineup in the history of daily fantasy football, including the $1 million Hooters kickoff, only on Fantasy Draft. Are 100% of entry fees paid to contest winners. Sign up at fantasydraft.com today with promo code ARMY, that's ARMY, and you'll get a free 7-day trial membership. Void where prohibited, must be 18 or older. Have you guys been playing? You both been playing on Fantasy Draft, right?
I'm obsessed with rake-free DFS. So understand, I was explaining to Ryan the other day how good rake-free really is. Like, if you play head-to-heads, and let's say you have you're playing every single day and you play $10 against your buddy, right? When you pay a rake, the winner gets 18. So let's say you played 10 games in a row, 10 weeks, you played head-to-head against your buddy, right? You won 6 out of 10. In the end of that's awesome. You got a 60% win rate, man. That's freaking great. Except you'd only be up like $4 at the end of that because the rake would have eaten up almost all of it. So instead of being up, I don't even know if my math was just right, but the point is, instead of being up like on a 20, you'd have instead of a 20% ROI after that 10 games, you'd have like a 4 or 3% ROI. The difference is massive when you don't pay rake, especially in head-to-head games. Now, we don't just let them sponsor this podcast because, you know, they're out there sponsoring. I think it's really important that as players, we support this idea of rake-free DFS. It's great for the ecosystem long-term. It's great for the players. You have a much, much better chance of being successful, of being profitable, of not losing. It's like going to a casino that plays blackjack with 2 decks versus 7 decks. You have a better chance at the 2-deck casino. Do it. Take the advantage when it's handed to you. Everybody who's playing DFS, that should be the first place that you go. And if you're not doing that, you're just not caring too much about being profitable.
You know what? A friend of mine who's not as sharp in DFS, you know, I said a friend of mine, but you know what he said? He said to me, he goes, the playing rake-free DFS is kind of like going to a club, a really good club that doesn't have a cover charge when you walk in the door. He said, if there's 2 clubs and they both are basically the same, one of them's charging $35 to get in, the other one's just free, you just come in, why would you go in the one that's charging?
Doesn't make any sense unless you're trying to chase the $1 million jackpots and you know the things that undisciplined players try to chase.
Yeah, and he said the hotter crowd is in the rake free one too. So all right, yeah, moving
Hooters, best wings, and you know what else?
That's what you like, the wings.
I love the wings at Hooters. I'm not kidding around. They have great wings.
Yeah, Kevin's the guy who sits there with, he's got sauce all over his fingers and there's pretty women walking around.
I don't care.
Moving
don't
on.
Look at the women. I just want, what kind of flavors you got?
Creep. All right.
Creep.
Denver, who's really still an interesting team. I have to say, Joe Flacco has not been as bad as I thought he was going to be, and they're going to go visit Green Bay, who I've been telling people they have an elite defense, and I still don't think they're getting the love. Green Bay is getting the mad respect over a touchdown, 8 points at home. This is a Denver play, right, Ryan?
Yeah, totally. So there's been a decent chunk of sharp action on Denver, but I think the main play, like you said, is both these defenses are legit, and the under has about 91% of the money on it. So again, that's probably where I would go in the game, is definitely getting the under.
Where's the under over listed at? What's the number it's sitting at?
It's at 43 right now.
43? Ooh, that's low. Okay, you're comfortable. I'll say you're seeing a game that's like 20 to 17 type of thing going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we saw that this past week with Green Bay, Minnesota. If you take out that first quarter, just absolute rampage, Packers won on. That was an extremely low scoring game between two really good defenses.
Geek, are we at a point where Aaron Rodgers is not even playable in DFS?
Aaron Rodgers is exclusively usable as that crazy, silly for the millie stack with two of his guys that eventually will go off and will win somebody $1 million. But he is absolutely not somebody that anyone is even sniffing at in terms of a cash game play or a hybrid, you know, large, high dollar contest play at this point. I can go back multiple seasons and the great games from Aaron Rodgers are few and far between.
Okay. So how about on the Denver side? Hoyce Freeman, our guy, looked like he is an NFL player. He's really hurting the fantasy value of Lindsay. Are you comfortable using Freeman as an RB2 punt play, and especially on sites that don't give you full PPR?
Listen, if I have to, and if he's cheap enough, sure. But I still don't see, there's no difference between, you know, 1 week it's Hoyce Freeman, the next week it's going to be Lindsay. Lindsay is also very good. So don't expect one guy to take over for the other. And on the flip side, on the running game for the Packers, where rumors of Aaron Jones' ascension to primary RB status have been greatly exaggerated. I'm seeing a timeshare situation. Jamal Williams is there a lot. He's still in there in the game. He's still getting passed to. These are both close to 50-50 splits. I don't want any of the running back action unless I'm getting a super, super discount to it in this specific game from either of these teams. And at the wide receiver spot, I think it's a little sketchy across the board. Devontae Adams, always good every single game, no matter what. But, I mean, even Manny Sanders, who is a beast so far this season, you know, I don't know if this is the spot where I'm going to... He's cheap, and it's a very attractive salary level on a couple of the sites, but I'm having some thoughts of him on the road, kind of disappointing. I'm not sure what I'll do with that, but I'll have exposure to him, but it's tough to want to chase those incredible scores he's put up the first couple of weeks, though he is priced very well. And then
To fact check you, but Aaron Jones had 23 carries last week, and Jamal Williams had 9.
Go back the week before, though. It was like 50-50 with those two. Well, so, you know, one week this, one week that. But has he taken over?
And you know what? Fact check him. Don't let him spew nonsense to the people.
No.
Because you know who's going to have to answer for it is us. You know, the geek's just going to go and hide on Slack, and we're going to be left to clean up the garbage. So call him out now.
Aaron Jones, 6,100 on
draft. Week one, 13-5. So it's a 2-1 split.
The other guy's still coming out there. But yes, I do see now that Jones did have quite an impressive game this past week. So I did not see that.
What I will say is Denver has given up like 5 yards a carry this year. So their defense is good. The pass D is excellent. And so I could see Aaron Jones being kind of a play that I go.
You know what? This is opening my eyes. I did not look at him this week. I looked at him week one, and I kind of turned my mind off to him because I still saw Jamal Williams out there doing his thing.
Jamal Williams did have a touchdown this past week too. And it was, you know, it was all over red zone.
He got
10
carries. He got 4 targets. Williams is out there. So he's out there doing his thing. So, I mean, but yeah, you're clearly a lot more Aaron Jones this week. It looks like 2-1. So maybe a 65-35 kind of split.
I think it's a real debate at this point in season long. For example, I'd almost rather take Aaron Jones than Alvin Kamara rest of season, because Alvin Kamara, with his limited workload, Teddy Bridgewater, he's derailing the whole offense. And they're not going to score 30 points a game anymore, the Saints. So I'm saying is that we have to look at Aaron Jones, and he's not going to be consistent. But when they are feeding him, and if they are winning with him, I think that he could be a sort of sneaky under the radar guy. But I agree that there's a lot of committee risk with him.
Right. I think very interesting, though. Very interesting.
Yeah, I think what you need to understand is that this is a new offense. Aaron Rodgers has run under Mike McCarthy for like 10 years, and he's been in a pass first offense. So this might be a new look offense that people are just assuming Packers, they don't run the ball. And maybe there's actually some value there on Jones.
And the other thing is that I still think this is not the right coach for Green Bay, and we won't harp on it. They had an opportunity to bring in Mike Shanahan, Kyle's father, and I thought that that's the type of coach that Aaron Rodgers needed, someone that he could actually respect, and it would have unlocked this offense even further. I've been disappointed in Green Bay, certainly in Aaron Rodgers. That was a good breakdown by both of you. Moving on, next game. Atlanta off of an amazing, amazing win and a final touchdown by Julio Jones. That was just, I don't know if you saw it, but that play design was unbelievable. They're going to go into Indy. And if I have this right, Indy is favored, finally getting the respect at home. I've been riding Indy each week as underdogs. This one's a little tougher to call. Ryan, this one looks like it's priced correctly. It's almost, the line is almost asking to take Atlanta, but this would be a stay away from me.
Yep, that's pretty much what Sharps are doing. They're not really touching this. I would take Indy. I think Atlanta gave up the game to a really defeated and depleted Philly offense on Sunday night. So I would definitely take Indy if I was betting this personally.
Geek, when you look at the fantasy value, is the sneaky guy, the guy who started coming on in Indy's offense, is it Paris Campbell? Is the rookie... Because all the rookies have started to, you know, to have blown up. The only one that hasn't yet was the fast guy from Ohio State. No, not the Ohio State Terry McLaurin. The other guy who outproduced him by 500 yards in college. Is Paris Campbell the next rookie to go nuts? And can we take advantage of that this week?
the number one ranked rookie wide receiver by season long says for your dynasty draft is Paris Campbell. Now, listen, he got one target last week. I mean, am I trusting him at 3,800 on DraftKings, for example, after a one target game? No. But I mean, could it be possible that he would get a few more targets and you know, have a decent game in this spot? Sure. But that's more of a, you know, this is more of a kind of a shot in the dark kind of play. I do think, though, if you're in a season-long league, I'd slap him on my bench just in case, because we know the Colts don't have any alternative wide receiver talent. Looking at this total game, though, anytime there's a game where Matt Ryan to Julio Jones inside a dome is going to be lower owned than probably a lot of other things because the game total is kind of low, that interests me. I like that stack. And Matt Ryan's very easy to stack because you throw him in there with Jones and Calvin Ridley for the twofer.
Can you play Austin Hooper? He's been racking up some PPR value.
Always. Anytime you've got... I don't play Austin Hooper as a standalone play ever, but I'm always comfortable combining him in some sort of game stack or team stack with Matt Ryan. And on the flip side, the guy who's got my interest... I mean, obviously, we're still checking out T.Y. Hilton. He's doing well, and you called it. You said that, you know, Brissett and him, they did have a decent enough connection, and they've been doing just fine together first few weeks. He's clearly the top dog. And I like Marlon Cheeto Mack as a potential running back play against this Atlanta run defense that always seems to get gashed by whoever they face.
All right. Yeah, no, you said it all there. The game of the week is Baltimore going to KC. I think the line here is KC minus 7. Now, this is a really interesting game. I mean, these are could potentially be the two of the three teams in the AFC competing in the AFC Championship, obviously New England being the other one. I think that everyone believes that Baltimore and KC are fighting to see who plays New England if they roll to the one seed. Talk to us about, is DeMarcus Robinson a flash in the pan? Actually, you know what? Let's talk about the betting angle first. This one, I would take Baltimore, just a touchdown. I think these teams are pretty evenly matched. What are the players doing from a betting angle, Ryan?
Yeah, pretty much that. So we're seeing a lot of public money coming in on Kansas City, but a lot of sharp money coming in on Baltimore. So I think the sharp way to go is to play this to Baltimore, but where you're really seeing action is on that over. So the total opened at 51.5 and has already been bet up to 55.5, seeing about 92% of the money on the over. So definitely a game stack. One thing of word of caution is that, and I told Geek about this before the podcast started. So we have a stat that looks at referees and their rankings for totals or spreads. And John Hussey, his under record is 61%.
Wow.
So the under has gone 38-24 in his games. So normally if a official has like an under record, they're calling more holding penalties, they're calling more false starts, delay of games, rather than PIs that kind of allow the over to happen.
You know, it's interesting, Geek. There's been more holding penalties called this year than in any previous year. It's a point of emphasis, and they're not only calling holding penalties this year, they're calling them away from the play, and they're calling them on fair catches and punts. I mean, it's ruining the product. I don't know exactly what they're trying to do. But everything that Fidon just said, you know, those metrics certainly apply. But I just see a pinball game here. I can see a Lamar Jackson mega throbber going on. Talking of though, the one I'm most interested in is everyone going to be chasing DeMarcus Robinson? And then is this a good time to go back to Sammy Watkins in DFS?
Yeah, I mean, you never know with this KC offense which guy it's going to be. They're so explosive. I think there's so many, all of the hot, it feels like all of the hot 2019 players are all stacked into this one game, you know, between Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews, a tight end for the Ravens, who have been so hot. And then on the Kansas City side with Kelsey and, you know, Sammy Watkins last week and DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman. There's so much going on here in this offense, and I love it all, and it's so juicy. So for me, one of the things I'm just going to do is just focus in on game stacking the shit out of this thing. Just getting lots of different combinations of lots of players that are completely involved. It's a 55-point total. You don't see that every day. You don't see that every week. I kind of almost wish it wasn't 55 points because I was hoping a little bit that the word Baltimore would kind of like get people a little bit scared of playing Kansas City, but that doesn't seem to be happening at all. So this thing is going to be massively owned, and I don't have a problem with just trying to load up on this like crazy. As far as the running back position for KC, I don't even think it's relevant this week, even though it does appear that maybe Williams was hurt. I'm not sure. He's questionable right now, Damian Williams, but I'm not sure how relevant that is anyway. He hasn't been doing a whole lot. And if he is completely hurt, then
they're
we
both
dinged
up, but they're both going to play. Is it in all your season long players? It's time to pick up Darwin Thompson if he was dropped. He's still going to have that upside. I would still hold on to him. Hey, just a quick question for you. Do you want to take any questions or you just want to roll and then we'll answer all of the questions? Okay. Hey, we got something from Donald. Donald, we'll get to you in the chat rooms. We're just doing a quick breakdown of everyone, but hang in there a little bit and we'll get to you. Hey, you were telling me before the show about Superdraft.
Absolutely.
What is, just explain to me at Superdraft, because I'm superdraft.io. Talk to me about, like, because I literally don't know anything about this, but I've been hearing about it. So talk to me like you're literally talking to an alien from another planet. Explain what superdraft.io is.
All right, superdraft.io, and, you know, they have an app as well. They're a new daily fantasy operator site, similar to DraftKings, FanDuel, or Fantasy Draft. And their niche is, instead of doing salaries on each player, they apply a fantasy points multiplier to each player. So the edge is, in the sense, we very quickly developed a projection system over at DFS Army for Superdraft. And as a bonus, these guys have had a ton of overlay. They're trying to get the site up and going. They're trying to get a lot of people over there. So we've been talking about it a lot within DFS Army Slack. We've been going crazy on the site. It's borderline been free money the first couple of weeks because their contests, which are large, haven't even come close to filling. So we've been able to get into these. And they do every type of contest, showdowns. They have the full main slate classic style, but everything is priced with a multiple. So you might take a kicker because he's getting a 4x multiplier compared to like a quarterback on, you know, Monday Night Football, who's only getting a 1.5x multiplier. So when
I want to ask you from a layman's perspective here. So my guess is someone like Patrick Mahomes, the top QBs will be a 1x, and someone that is a little bit more of a long shot to produce will get a higher multiplier. Is that how it would work?
Last week, Andy Dalton was a 1.95x. That's 2x is the most for a quarterback. Last week, Andy Dalton was a 1.95x, and Mahomes was a 1x. So the way you win is generally not going to be by taking 1x players, unless it's Travis Kelce.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Ryan, have you played anything from Superdraft?
Oh, yeah. I've been all over it. Yeah, this past weekend, I tripled up all of my money. I was depositing like crazy Sunday morning thinking, oh, there's no way this won't fill. Yeah, then if half filled and you're like, okay, how much money can I throw into this? It's going back to the first year or two of Daily Fantasy when DraftKings and FanDuel were like this, where it's just, you're printing money. I mean,
so before he knows it, Geek, he'll be upgrading from ramen noodles to Chef Boyardee.
Just in Ryan's winnings from this weekend on all of that free money, I have inside info that he took his fiance out for a beautiful fancy dinner at the Red Robin. They were able to get 2-for-1 hamburger specials.
I thought you were going to say the Impossible Burger at Burger King.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. All right. So I just wanted to point out for superdraft.io, if you use promo code ARMY, they're going to add another $10 to your initial deposit. So if you deposit $50, they'll give you a free 10. That's 60. And then there's so much free money in their contest that your 60 will probably quickly turn into enough money for a fancy meal at the local Applebee's. Let's do it.
Sounds
at the
good.
Hooters.
All right.
Where you can then play Fantasy Draft.
Oakland is taking the greatest show on baseball field to Minnesota. Minnesota is, another team that it's a very interesting team because I think the market has a better perception of them than they actually are. The one player, and they're favored by 8 points. I wouldn't even know where to go on this one. It's probably Minnesota's going to roll, but Oakland's just been sneaky pretty good until, I guess, they weren't great last week. But in week one, they look competitive. What's the betting angle on this one, Phaidon?
Yes, so there is no major signal. Like, everyone's kind of confused. The one thing I would say is, going back to referees, Jerome Boger is 96-67 to the over. So 60% of his games go to the over. many PI calls, you know, not many holding calls. So for being a Minnesota team that usually is a good defense, most people probably will shy away from them or Oakland's offense. And so there actually might be some leverage you can get there.
Yeah, that sounds right. I like that. That's a really good take, actually. Geek, you remember a couple years ago in DFS where you just put David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell in your lineup and then you figured it out from there? Is Dalvin Cook reached that status?
Yes. Not 100% of the time, but when he's facing Oakland and he's at home, I've got to give a yes to it, especially when he's salaried significantly below, you know, other names, Zeke Elliott and Barkley and you know, the Christian McCaffrey, the group that's considered super elite. So yeah, Dalvin Cook, a healthy Dalvin Cook in this offense, the way they're running him out there, the way they're just feeding him the rock nonstop. I'm not in love with his passing game work thus far this season. So keep that in mind. There's been a little bit of variance, you know, 20 carries, 21 carries. He hasn't been a massive workload guy per se, but he is getting 20 plus touches per game. And at home, and as a home field favorite against a Oakland team that has been pretty good across the board this year, but I don't count having a good ranking against the run when you played KC, who doesn't really bother to run it that much, as anything. Like, I throw away a ranking like that. It takes longer to establish that you're a good run defense, and I highly doubt that the Raiders are that. So, yes, love Dalvin Cook in this game. I'm a little more concerned about our boy, the Gazelle, who I know you've been a big advocate of for many, many years.
Many years.
Finally getting his chance, but not Xavier Rhodes. Good coverage. Not sure we're going to get a great Gazelle game here this week. Go back on that chalk. Darren Waller chalk, I'm okay with it a little bit. But again, I tend to think that teams go to Minnesota to have bad fantasy points performances. So I tend to not want to play players on the road at Minnesota in my fantasy lineups.
Is Minnesota defense a possibility here?
If it wasn't for the fact that New England is facing the Jets and the Miami is facing Dallas, and it's so much more enticing. Yes, this would be a very exciting defense and more of a GPP alternative. Let me pay down for something that no one else will have situation, but it's just not enough savings. Only 1,000 below Dallas, tough. But you know, anytime 60% of the field is going to be on one team on a defense, regardless of how great the spot is, there is some merit to fading it. And I'll bring up a trip that the Bears took down to Miami last year and garnered 60% ownership. And then Brock Osweiler went off for a Millie Maker winning performance. And, you know, the rest was history. Somebody is rich now.
Before I put up the next game, New York Jets at New England, Geek, I know that you have it in front of you, Ryan, but Geek, what do you think the line is? Just don't even look. Take a
guess. All right, without looking, I have not looked.
Remember,
I know about the spread. I know about the spread already.
You know. You already know that.
I know the spread, but I'm gonna guess the game total because I didn't look at the total.
Guess the spread. Let's see if you really
do. There's minus 22. It's more than Dallas. Minus 23. There you go.
There it is.
I'm going to guess a game total, though, that's fairly low. I'm going to say 44 points.
Where is it at, Ryan?
It's 44.
Ha! All right. Talked about the game flow here, and I'm really interested to see. I mean, is anyone crazy enough to put any money on the Jets with this huge line? I mean, is Vegas begging you to take New England? Is the value on the Jets side at 23 points?
In this game, no. I mean, it's still on New England, but it's closer in this game, in my opinion. I think that the total has been seeing about 99% of the money. And so Vegas is expecting just a low scoring game, and Brady's not really going to care much about this game. So.
Wait, it's the Jets. They always care about beating up on the Jets. They hate the Jets.
They'll run it up on the Jets. Yeah, they have an animosity.
Okay, well,
Or is Brady just, like you said, just over that already? He's already abused the Jets enough.
It's like kicking someone when they're down. Do you really? Like, after you beat someone up, it's like, all right, here's the perfect example. If you're Kareem Hunt, you've already tossed the woman to the floor.
We're going there.
No.
Do you really need to run over and kick her in the face? Because she was already on the floor. You already said, get off me, ho. But then that was like, okay, you could still have your career. I get it. She's messing with you. She's pushing on you. You push her off. But when you took the four steps and kicked her, you went overboard, pal. Sorry, Kareem.
You know what I was going to say?
That was when you took it too far.
It was more like, you remember that scene? What was that movie when the guy curb stomps the other guy? What's it called? You know what I'm talking about? He puts his mouth on the guy with the skinhead, and he knocks.
Is that American Psycho?
American Psycho, or one of those. American History X. That's it. Yeah. It
was more like the
curb stomping the teeth. All right, Ryan, we interrupted your time. Go ahead.
No worries. I think just like I said earlier with Miami Dallas, that the under is the best play here. Just expecting possibly a shutout and taking those defenses.
Yeah, I mean, could this be from a DFS perspective? Is this another Sony Michel spot?
I mean, it should be, but do you really want to trust Sony after he didn't do anything at Miami last week?
He was decent. Didn't he get like 20 plus carries? I mean, I know he turned him into a handful of yards. He got 13 points. Right. 13 I mean, it's fantasy. Something. It's something.
He's still too expensive on DraftKings to be anything but an alternate sort of like dice roll. The Jets do have a reasonably good. The Jets' defense will break in this game. In other words, you don't even have to worry about, hey, my team has a good run defense this year. They will break in this game. That's just what happens. But Michel, go ahead. He's just too expensive on. He got 21 carries, 85 yards, one touchdown. He only got to 13.5 points.
But does his price drive down ownership?
It does, but the issue with Sony Michel is he's just having a hard time getting to value on DraftKings. Much better play on FanDuel. FanDuel doesn't care about PPR and bonuses and things like that. So the running backs across the board score a little bit less. And that's where, you know, a 21 carry, 110 yard, one touchdown game from a Sony Michel. Okay. All right. I'll take it. You know, no receptions. All right. No big deal. You got 18 points and he's a little cheaper there.
The rumor that I'm starting though is that now that the Jets are down to their third string quarterback and that Daniel Jones has taken over the job for the Giants, are the Jets going to trade for Eli and have him just walk across to the other locker room and start against New England?
Is Eli legitimately better than the fifth round like rookie that the Jets are throwing out there?
Absolutely not.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why would you do that?
Shows up against Brady.
He did do that a couple of times.
That's a good point right there.
Is there a savior out there? The Jets have to pick someone up. They don't have a quarterback.
I think the play for the Jets, if they even feel competitive. Ask the Dolphins if they can have Ryan Fitzpatrick's carcass and just let Josh Rosen roll the rest of the season. I think that's the move. There's, you know, any team that's kind of thrown in the towel and looking to, if the Jets do want a veteran over there, because this is really bad. I don't think Darnold's coming back for a couple months. You remember in high school when those kids used to get got mono, they were out for like 2 months. They didn't come back in 2 weeks. Sometimes these kids would disappear and not come back until the end of the year.
I don't want to be a doctor here, but it's not the issue here isn't so much the mono and the being a little tired. It's that apparently you get an enlarged spleen or some organs enlarged with this disease, and you really can't take impacts. So at that point, it's just unsafe for him to be playing. And I don't care if you're like a tough football player. It's not that. It's unsafe for him to play. And as a Jets fan, listen. He's the quarterback, right? Of the New York Jets. He's running around in Jersey Shore. Because where are you going? New York City? He's in the Jersey Shore. Like over the summer. He's hanging out. There's hot chicks everywhere.
He's partying with Paulie D.
He's hanging out with DJ Paulie D.
A guy from San Clemente is not going to go home. He's going to go to Jersey Shore.
He's going to Jersey Shore, man. He's hanging out. That's what you do in New York in the summertime, right? But the problem is the girls at the Jersey Shore, if you go to DJs,
nothing wrong.
You know,
with
all
that.
Of those men have been immunized to mono. It's okay if you're from here. But if you're from away and you kind of come into this thing, it's like when the conquistadors arrived in Latin America in the 14th century. And what happened was they brought all of their disgusting like European germs and colds and polio, and the natives just got completely wiped out. You can't just show up from freaking Southern California with all of that, you know, cleanliness and show up at the Jersey Shore, hang out at DJs, and expect to come out unscathed. That is just never going to happen.
Hot take right there.
Yeah.
Moving
I'm from
on
here. I've been immunized.
Detroit going to Philly. Philly lost all their wide receivers, and it already said, I think I saw a note here while we're on air about DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson has abdominal strain that is expected to sideline him for 2 weeks. So he's out. They'll probably, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside will probably get some run. Mac Hollins, the deep threat. will be in there. Nelson Aguilar looked pretty good. With a depleted receiving core, is the money still going to go on Philly? I didn't think Carson Wentz looked that good. I think that that's baked into the price. I'd hold my nose and take Detroit from a betting angle.
Yeah, I think everyone agrees with you. Philly opened at -7.5. It is down to -6.5 at the time I saw it. Detroit has about 42% of the bets, so definitely the public is backing Philadelphia, but they have 65% of the money. In terms of totals, there is some sharp action on the under. And going back to our referees, Tony Correnti, who has actually spent a lot of times officiating games, is 95-71 to the under. So that's about 59%. Definitely a chance this game goes under where it is at 46 right now. It's opened at 48.5. So definitely a place where I would look to fade or just only take Detroit players.
One of the most famous, or I should say infamous, referees, Tim Donaghy. I read his book, and he talks about how he was able to accurately predict games and point spreads based on referees. So if you're taking this from the Tim Donaghy book, even though he's a cockamamie charlatan, he certainly was a profitable bettor. I'll give you that. Good take over there. Geek, give me a quick one. We've got a bunch of games to get through. Where are the sneaky plays for DFS on both sides?
Well, I want to throw one over to you real quick. Tell me about Mac Hollins, an 8-target, 5-reception performance, won somebody $1 million.
Yeah, you heard me say Mac Hollins in the beginning. Yeah, so
yes, you did, but I want to know about this player.
So he's in year 3 now, Mac Hollins. He is super fast. I mean, he just never got a chance to play. He keeps getting buried on the depth chart, and he looked like he was going to be the breakout guy last year, and he got injured. He was out for the whole year. Philly likes him a lot. They actually saw him as the original replacement for Alshon Jeffery. And then what happened was he got injured, and that's why they went in on J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Now he's fully healthy. He's going to get an opportunity to play. He was actually set to start, but when DeSean Jackson came available, he's one of these guys that keeps getting pushed down the depth chart but never getting released. He's a valuable player, and if he's getting the snaps, he is the sneakiest dynasty pickup, I think, on the market right now.
All right, so let me throw this at you then, because the description of the player kind of tells me who he replaces. So can we assume that Mac Hollins is kind of playing the DeSean Jackson role here with Arcega-Whiteside coming in as the Alshon Jeffery role, assuming Alshon sits this one out?
Yeah, Arcega-Whiteside is more of a red zone threat at Stanford. I told you, he caught 21 of 22 red zone.
Well, that's the Alshon role, right?
Right.
He's just a big dude now, who fights for catches.
Yeah, Hollins is a speedster, but he's also big. And he has an enormous catch radius. So, again, he's not as skilled as his other guys, but what he does really well.
Well, this is the whole thing. So we have this interesting offense where the two primary wide receivers are out. We saw Nelson Aguilar, you know, kind of have a pretty big game. But at the same time, we saw all of the bad of Nelson Aguilar last week with the drops and you can't afford to have a lot of that going on your fantasy team because you're not always going to have as many opportunities as Aguilar had last week. All three of these guys are super cheap. And all three of them are going to be interesting from a daily fantasy perspective, just as salary sort of openers, salary savers. We don't know which one is going to do what, but all three of them are going to have to get sniffs, at least in tournaments. I'm not sure if I feel comfortable with any of these guys as a cash play. And I don't know. You know, Golladay had a good game last week, and some of these pieces for Detroit will have good games on occasion. Hockenson came down to earth, but he'll come back potentially again.
He's a rookie. He's going to have bad games.
Just to be expected. He 3 targets. But so I'm never comfortable playing a lot of guys from Detroit. But the Eagles are attackable through the air. You're generally not attacking them on the ground. So if Detroit is going to do anything here, I think they'll have to throw to these guys. But this game is very secondary for me across the board, outside of some value plays.
All right. Yeah, you said it all. Those are good, hot, sharp takes by both of you. I enjoyed hearing that one. Carolina, is this line still on the board as +3 at Arizona? Yeah, okay, good. He's shaking his head no. And the reason is, I don't know, Geek, today, that Cam Newton's looking doubtful for this game. Will Greer's going to get his shot. I've been talking about Will Greer as what I think he's going to have a long career as a backup QB. I think he'll be like perennial, the 33rd best QB in the league for a long time. I like Will Greer. I thought he was the most NFL-ready QB, but it is a rookie going against a rookie. The money's got to be going on Arizona. Am I correct here?
The line does not exist at this current time.
All right, you said it's off. If it ends up at where would the line go? Like, give me a line prediction if it's Will Grier.
It'll likely go, because we saw Darnold was worth about 4 points on Monday night. So let's just say Cam Newton and Sam Darnold are around the same. So let's say this moves to Arizona minus one.
Or a pick'em, somewhere in there.
Right? Or a pick'em.
Yeah, right. But the money's going to push it to a minus one or minus two.
Yeah, when they relaunch, I'm sure there's going to be money on Arizona because Kyler Murray's actually looked decent.
He's the number one overall pick.
You know, here's a little known fact. Cam Newton was not hurt in game. He was actually putting on his granny costume for the presser.
Nice.
And as he was tucking in his shmata that he puts over his head, apparently he twisted his arm a little bit. So not everybody knows that.
For the goyim out there, tell them what a shmata is.
Shmata is like a rag that an old lady in Eastern Europe would wear around their head. They walk around like this. And Cam Newton apparently is bringing that back as, you know, a new thing.
And for the goyim out there, tell them what goyim is.
I'm not telling them that. That is your job.
Ryan, anything else? So you see this going to a minus two. So obviously, you were saying about Kyler Murray. So you're encouraged, Ryan, about what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he and his top targets, Kirk, Fitzgerald, are definitely in play. I think they helped me win some good money super draft over the weekend. So it seems like that's a spot that no one's really going after and a spot to definitely take advantage of.
All right, let's just say Cam Newton is not there and it's Will Grier. Are you touching any of the passing options, Christian McCaffrey, in this one?
Well, here's the deal. Like, I think Christian McCaffrey is definitely still playable. We saw Christian McCaffrey tear shit up last year after Cam Newton went out. So that team just planned a very, very Christian McCaffrey heavy game plan. So I don't think that's going to get me off of him. It does get me a little bit of worry about paying up for him in like cash games at his super, super inflated price. But I do think Christian McCaffrey is going to be just fine. The pass catching options for Carolina, though, have not necessarily been repriced. I mean, it's hard for me to say that Cam Newton's better than this guy, Will Grier, because Cam Newton fucking sucks, and he always sucks, and it doesn't matter. So I don't think Cam Newton is that good. I do think this gets me off of the idea, probably, of playing Greg Olsen. I like Newton to Olsen as a sort of very nice chemistry play almost every week. It seems like that's always a good play, but you know, I think it puts me on Moore and Samuel as scary sort of GPP plays with upside. I'm not going to say that they're going to have a bad game. Like I said, I think Cam Newton's throwing has been so horrific, not just this year, but for multiple seasons in a row, that it's almost hard for me to think that this Will Grier youngster is that much of a downgrade. But I do think it will force the Panthers to lean even heavier on Christian McCaffrey. And remember that style of play that Arizona plays, the fast style, the quick, the turnovers, so many extra opportunities for opposing offenses. We saw it with Chip, whatever the hell his name was.
Chip Kelly
from the Eagles a couple of years ago, where their opponents would always have these great games because they just had the ball so much. So I like this game, both sides. I love the sneakiness of it. Listen, everybody's on the 55-point fantasy points bonanza. But there are good pieces to be had in this one. Larry Fitzgerald, super cheap. Christian Kirk, super cheap. Who's the third guy?
Well, it's been Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn Johnson.
And then sneakily, Damier Bird, who's a really good player, has been the fourth wide receiver rotating in. He's been getting a lot of run, and he's been, you know, useful for fantasy.
Bird seemed to be the better guy of him and Keyshawn last week, but I don't go that intense. I think the other two guys, the Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, are plenty cheap enough to play on that side. And it loves me some Kyler Murray as a low-owned pivot off of the super chalk expensive Mahomes-Jackson combo.
The thing that's really interesting is former quarterback and fantasy star, then later disgraced Michael Vick. But Michael Vick he really supplies some really sharp football analysis. I've watched him a couple times. I think he's got a real good future in broadcasting if his reputation can get polished up a little bit. But he says his hot take, which I was blown back by, he is not only predicting, he is projecting that this is Cam Newton's last year in Carolina. He thinks Cam is going to be either released or traded by the end of the year. I thought that was a pretty good hot take. Moving on. New York Giants with new quarterback, future Hall of Famer, Daniel Jones. is going to go visit the very confusing Tampa team. Tampa, almost a touchdown favorite. Ryan, talk to me about this game. I don't even know where to begin with this. What is the mark? Is the line stayed at 6-5 with Daniel Jones there?
It has. It has moved to 7, and it's been 6.5 on some sites as well. It's kind of confused. I think what we're seeing is a lot of sharp backing Jones here. They saw what he did the preseason. They're actually believing in him.
Yeah, I'm a believer too. I've been the vice president or the president of the Daniel Jones fan club for some time. Isn't that right, Geek?
You absolutely have been telling me about Daniel Jones, about you've been singing his praises since he was drafted, right? As soon as everybody was dissing this guy, saying, what the hell did the Giants do? You are absolutely not on board. We are in multiple fantasy leagues together where you picked him up in the rookie draft. So props for that, especially if he does well.
Well, let's see. Let's see. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to take the victory lap yet. I'm just saying, all I said is that, how do we know? QB is, it's easier to play now than it ever has been with the new rules, and he actually has mobility. So are you taking a shot on him in DFL?
First of all, let me just say, Daniel Jones is an upgrade, not downgrade,
correct,
to all of the Giants' skill position players. That's an important note, because a lot of people would think, oh, as a rookie, a backup, he's an upgrade, not a downgrade. Eli Manning is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL going back probably for the last decade. So the fact that they finally moved on, I'm happy for Giants fans that's happening for them. So the piece that interests me here is Saquon Barkley in a potentially better offense that's more efficient than what he's had to deal with. Like, what can an unleashed Saquon Barkley do? We're not talking about a great Bucs defense. We're talking about the Bucs, who suck generally across the board. So nothing scary about this matchup at all. The Giants, unfortunately, don't really have any pass-catching talent outside of Evan Ingram that is going to play in this game. But I like Saquon Barkley here. And if I could play Jones, I'm interested in your thoughts on like any of these backup wide receivers, and if he had developed rapport with one of these backups before, you know, as you know, on the second team that might flash in this game.
Well, that's the question. And I think that, you know, when, like you just alluded to, sometimes the number one or perceived number one wide receiver, it no longer is that, because the guy who's been practicing with the number twos is that new number one. And there's been no, I've been looking into this. I think that's a smart question, but the Giants receiving core is kind of just a piecemeal put together. The one who I think is going to be interesting for fantasy eventually is Golden Tate when he comes back. I mean, because he plays into the exact skill set of what they want to do with Daniel Jones, which is dump it off, yards after the catch. He's got sure hands. So, you know, down the road, that's the one I'd be looking at potentially. I just think this is a total mystery. I'm optimistic. I think it's going to be the Saquon Barkley show, as you said. And, you know, I mean, you're really going to start Cody Latimer or Benny Fowler? I mean, that's the trashiest of trashy players.
That's the thing that's going to keep me off of playing Jones, even though he's super cheap. I do think he can probably, you know, squeeze out some value throwing it to Barkley and to Evan Ingram. But I'm not sure that there's enough there at 5K on DraftKings. So I'm just looking at DraftKings. Sorry, you know, I could do FanDuel pricing if you guys want, but I'm just looking at DraftKings. I can only do one at a time. So I'm looking at 5K. Is that going to get me off of paying 7K for Lamar Jackson or 7,500 for Pat Mahomes in that game? No. So on the flip side of this game, I think Godwin's in as good of a spot as, you know, anything. He's always good. And, you know, Mike Evans now is cheaper than Chris Godwin, which I think is a correction that should have happened, though. I mean, might be the Evans week, though.
We talked about it a lot, is that the DFS pricing is always a lag behind actual reality. So if you can get ahead of it, you can get your deals. All right, moving on to the next game. We got Houston going to LA Chargers, who get the standard home field advantage -3. Ryan, what the hell is going on this game? Why are the Chargers getting respect still like this?
Yeah, could I just go back quickly to the Giants game real quick?
Yeah.
Sorry. But the one thing I would add to that game is the top two target people in the Tampa Bay's first two games have been tight ends. So I definitely think Ingram, especially coming off a real dud game he had last week, is one of my favorite tight ends on this slate. But going to this new game.
I just want to end the tight ends. And also Bruce Arians came out today and said that we are going to start getting O.J. Howard the ball a little bit. So you're talking about my favorite position, tight end. I always got to make a tight end comment. Yeah, moving on to the Houston at L.A. Chargers. Houston just seems like one of the top teams in the AFC. Am I underestimating the Chargers? They're favorites here?
You're not. So what we saw is that public money came on the Chargers really early, moving it from -3 to -3.5. And moving off the -3 number is massive in betting because 3 is, you know, a field goal. Like it, you know, is an easy number that you can hit. And so getting 3.5, most of the sharps have jumped on Houston +3.5. And I think that's a great place to jump on. And then the under has been hit in this game. I think people are kind of scared of what happened last week with Houston and their low scoring game with Jacksonville. Whether that will happen again, and that might scare people off kind of running Watson with Nook.
Yeah. So what are you down on Deshaun Watson? I mean, last week wasn't a good game. To me, he's still one of the best real QBs in the NFL. He takes a lot of sacks, which definitely hurts his DFS value. Who from the Houston side, receivers, Duke Johnson, is there anyone? Talk about that side first, Geek. Who are the guys that you're looking at to play on the Houston side?
Yeah, no, I'm not down. I'm down on the Houston running game a little bit, but I'm not down on Deshaun Watson. I didn't think that was a good matchup. I never really get super excited about a team playing against the Jaguars. I know that, that Pat Mahomes tore him up, but in general, there are these low-scoring games, and there's just not a whole lot of need in those games to sort of do a lot of scoring. So Deshaun Watson looked kind of like vintage 2018 Deshaun Watson last week instead of the version we saw in week one at New Orleans. I am not down on him, though. I still think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I don't know if he'll finish QB2. I think your boy Lamar Jackson is at the very least on his way to that. But I like Deshaun. Now, that said, DeAndre Hopkins, always a stud. Will Fuller hasn't gotten there yet, so we got to see if he starts to get a little more action. But, you know, he had a decent amount of targets last week, and they don't do anything else on that team. So the running back crew has just not been super exciting. Carlos Hyde has taken over, though, as the number one guy. It's important.
Who the hell would have predicted that, man?
I don't know. I feel like I said that in the beginning of the year, that everybody was thinking Duke Johnson was going to get this other role. And as soon as they got Carlos Hyde, I was like, I don't know why people are so confident in Duke Johnson. I think Carlos Hyde's going to be the grind and Duke Johnson. Plus, this team never produces points from the running back position. So Lamar Miller wasn't shit because he's not a talented player. He was shit because this team, for whatever reason, does not seem to produce fantasy massive totals in the running back position. So I was never excited about Duke. I'm not super excited about Carlos Hyde either in this game or ever, but they're certainly playable, I suppose. But as far as the Houston offense goes, no, it all goes through Hopkins and potentially Will Fuller. So if Watson is having a great game, I almost want to pair him up with both of those guys because it's going to take a great game for both of us, or him running in some tutties for him to really be the best quarterback on the slate. And he's priced way too close to the super studs.
Speaking of automatic starts, Austin Ekeler.
Automatic.
Right. Just put him in there and build your lineup around Austin Ekeler, even more so than Dalvin Cook. Is the pricing caught up with Ekeler yet?
Nope.
Wow.
He's still a little too cheap. He's at 7,200 right now. Now, the challenge here is this is Houston. That is a good run defense, a very, very good run defense. So as much as I like Ekeler because the role he plays, the way they throw to him kind of supersedes when a team has a great line and can stop the run up the gut. I don't think he'll have success in that, but I think he's got a great chance of, again, I just talked about teams that produce points to the running back position. The Chargers have been doing this for 10 years. They have more, where they have a style of play that produces points to the running back position because they run certain types of screens. And Austin Ekeler is legit a wide receiver as well. Like, he can run a pattern.
Yeah, he made some nice catches.
Yeah, but not in the screen. We saw Austin Ekeler running actual full blood, like vintage Le'Veon Bell style, where he was running patterns and out pattern. This was not just screens to the running back. These were legit running against the cornerback, beating him with great
route running skills. And so when you see that from a running back, you know, I don't care what the other team is ranked. This team's at home, slightly underdog. They're going to be thrown to this running back.
Yeah, I want you to remember this whole Austin Eckler sort of phenomenon when I start talking again about zero running back, which was definitely the way to go in season long. Because if you loaded up on your wide receivers early and you got Austin Eckler, Matt Breida, I mean, you're in really good shape right now.
What if you did that and you got Duke Johnson?
I mean, he was good one week and he was not good the other week. I mean, in zero running, you know, it's not terrible. But you're going to get a bunch of those guys. You're not just going to get two of them.
Yeah,
one of the teams that got crushed with a KO, the QB KO, was Pittsburgh. This could be the end of the Ben Roethlisberger era. You know, it's funny. Another Pittsburgh QB, Terry Bradshaw, had this same Tommy John sort of injury and said he was coming back too, and we never saw him again. They're going to go to San Francisco. San Francisco is going to get the full touchdown. I like Mason Rudolph as a QB. What are the bettors saying, Ryan?
Bettors are with you. They're on Pitt. They're taken. The line has already moved from San Francisco -7.5 all the way down to 6.5. 35% of the bets are on Pittsburgh, which means the public is backing San Francisco, thinking obviously that Mason Rudolph is nothing, but 65% of the money is on Pittsburgh. So all the sharps are believing that Rudolph can have a game. People are expecting this to be a low scoring defensive battle. San Francisco's defense has come out and just been an absolute force for the first 2 weeks, kind of just abusing Cincinnati and Tampa Bay. So I personally wouldn't have much from this offense. And I think the only play that's possible for me is James Washington kind of playing that Okie State connection there.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. This is both of you. In my dynasty league, I own Manny Sanders, and somebody wanted him, and they offered me James Washington in dynasty. Should I take that deal?
No. Washington, did you like, you're a big Martavis Bryant truther. If you want that role with no Ben Roethlisberger on your team, that's what you're getting with Washington. He's literally playing the Darius Hayward Bay / Martavis Bryant role.
What Ryan just said, though, is really important, that Mason Rudolph was James Washington's college quarterback. He did show some chemistry with him. Now that he's the full-time guy, could this be his guy? This is the same thing you asked me about the Giants. Could James Washington be the guy that Rudolph looks for? Now, I'm not saying it's going to go away.
I'll break down two angles real quick, but we have to hammer through these. Two angles. One would be short term. This year, I'd rather have Manny Sanders. He's fucking Manny Sanders, and he's been awesome. Longer term, I don't know that this college connection between these two guys narrative street bullshit means anything past like the next few games. At some point, he's been practicing with a whole bunch of guys. So if that's your reasoning, hell no. If you thought James Washington, you're the analyst, you're the guy who's reading these guys' college stuff and following them throughout. If you think James Washington is this prospect that has a long-term career ahead of him, Manny Sanders is probably in his last year or two. So in that sense, I would do it for that reason, but I would much sooner take a third-round draft pick for someone like Manny Sanders right now.
In DFS, if you started both San Francisco running backs, you hit the jackpot. Are you any interest in Mostert? Forget Jeff Wilson, because he just had a handful of carries with a couple touchdowns, but how about Matt Breida, man? This guy is just unstoppable. 120 yards on the ground last week. He didn't get a ton in the passing game, didn't make it to the end zone, but is he ready to explode? Can I use him in my DFS lineup this week?
I don't like him in DFS. It's too much of a split. Mostert's going to be in there at the goal line. All three of these guys had an incredible game, and that's a big reason why my takeaway from it is a lot more play running backs against Cincinnati than it is, oh, these guys are going to do great every single week. The Steelers have a great run defense. Let's not discount that Sony Michel had 15 carries and 14 yards against this team in week one in a smashing. They still held up against the bruiser up the middle. So, no, I mean, sure, you could play them, but it's definitely not, I'm not chasing those points from last week because it's too risky the way they split those touches up between these two guys. I think a lot of this game is risk. There are some pieces. I mean, like you tell me, man, Debo Samuel's big game.
Oh yeah, I mean, and he's so fun to watch, right, Ryan? Did you watch that game? Did you see how like he's like watching a video game?
And he was great at South Carolina too.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of speculation that he was going to be the first wide receiver off the board in the real NFL draft. So,
I mean,
And there you go. And like, you know, there's some narratives here. Like, who's going to play Juju Smith-Schuster after what happened last week? And so that's a little scary. And now you've got the rookie quarterback in there. And but maybe he's cheap enough that maybe it is worth playing. I don't know. And so there's a few interesting pieces in this game. But overall, the very, very shitty total of I was just looking at it. But what's the total on this one?
You got it right.
San Francisco, Pittsburgh. Yeah, 43.5 point total is really shitty. And we want to target games that have a 55 point game total, a.k.a. Kansas City and Baltimore. So why mess around? Now, there are no, that's the only high total game, so we're going to have to take some guys for low total, but I'd still rather look at the games that, you know, have 49, 48s, a little bit higher total. There aren't that many of them on this slate as I'm looking at it. Wow, this is going to be chalk city on that 55-pointer, man. Even just looking at these numbers, I didn't realize we...
That's which game is the 55-er? Total.
That's just KC Baltimore. Nothing else is passing 48. Tampa Giants is the second highest. Ugh.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a couple ancillary plays in that Baltimore KC that we didn't get to, but just to throw it out there, just to get it on tape, I like Miles Boykin as a wide receiver three punt there, but we won't go backwards.
That's the DeMarcus Robinson play of this week.
Yeah,
the call. The other
team that got the QB KO this week was New Orleans. Drew Brees out for the next 2 months. He'll be back for your fantasy playoffs if you're even able to make it there. I'm in on Alvin Kamara in so many spots. I'm really worried about him. Michael Thomas, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater just doesn't look good. I mean, he hasn't showed a spark. They're going to go to Seattle, and Seattle's only giving 5 points. I am hammering. This is my best bet of the week. I'm taking Seattle -5. Whatever the max bet is, I'm in for this one.
Well, I would say I'm not.
Good. I want to hear the counter.
So I think that it's hard to judge someone based off of being thrust into action in game time against a really good team.
Yeah, but I want you to answer this while you're answering me. Teddy Bridgewater wasn't just thrust in. The guy's been around for a long time. Yeah, I mean, he has not looked good. He had like 5 good games before the injury, and then he got injured in a we've already seen it. It's not like a rookie getting thrust in. This is an experienced veteran.
No, but he's had games in week 17. I mean, he's playing behind a guy like Brett Favre who just doesn't get injured. He's playing the Jim Sorgi to, you know, Peyton Manning, which is the best job ever if you can get it. But, you know, I think he has shown upside in that if he has a week of practice time, he can prove to be a decent quarterback for this team. Gives you the running ability. And let's not beat around the bush. Seattle has looked horrible this year. They barely got past Pittsburgh because they switched to a backup quarterback as well. You know, and then they looked horrible against Cincinnati, who just gave up 40 points to San Francisco. So why are we betting that Seattle is this great team when we have New Orleans here with a dynamic offense and a great defense? And I think the sharps are also on New Orleans to keep this game closer, even to win it.
Yeah, you know, I don't get caught up too much, and I, you know, with sharp square, I used to say, oh my god, the road favorite. You never take the road favorite. This time, you know, like sometimes you just have to trust your gut, and I certainly respect that take. You know,
what do you see on Seattle that's good then?
I just think that the market still underrates their home field advantage, and okay. I just think that's the toughest place to play. And then New Orleans, traditionally, even with Drew Brees, doesn't play well on the road. And then, you know, outside of the dome, I should say.
Can we throw in that traveling west 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah,
is never a great thing for a team.
Totally. Yeah. Again, and I certainly respect Ryan's take. And this one, I just, you know, and you know, from a betting perspective, sometimes you're just going to see something different than the market, and that's when you hit the hammer. Mm-hmm. Again, your take is going to pull me back on the number of units, but I'm certainly still looking to make a play on Seattle this week.
Don't let that play pull you back. Don't let that take. Go with your gut, man. This is NFL.
I don't want to be cavalier and not respect for those of you listening, Ryan Fight On is one of the guys I respect when it comes to this stuff. And I really, I use what he says to bake into my own gut feelings and formulas. So when he says that, I'm not going to back off my take completely, but I am going to be maybe just a little less cavalier in the number of units I put forth. Geek, there talk to me.
There we go. Let's break down the DFS angles.
I was just going to ask you, I want to hear about the running game for both teams before you talk about the passing games.
Oh, man, it's tough to play Kamara. You got to pay up a lot of money to see if he can play well with Teddy KG Bridgewater. Not into it. Don't like it. I'll maybe do it in some crazy wackadoodle tournament lineups. But the problem is so many other people think that way that you don't even have that much uniqueness when you're not as cute as you think you are when you're throwing him out there. So, I like to get cute, but that's not even that cute. It's just stupid. So at some point, you know, it's Seattle. The Seattle side, listen, they're taking on a Saints team that has been very good defensively against the run. They've been very good. But they're on the road. Chris Carson's a target or an opportunity monster. And yeah, that has some interest. That holds a little bit of interest for me. And the Seattle wide receiver corpse, they have some interest as well. Tyler Lockett continues to be Tyler Lockett and do Tyler Lockett things. And he's almost always going to score a touchdown or two out of every three games. He's going to score a touchdown and get you like that 14 points. Not Mecole Hardman, but of course I can't remember the name, so I got to bring it up. But the rookie wide receiver has had a couple of good games for DK Metcalf. I always think Mecole Hardman. DK Metcalf has had a couple good games coming off a 7 target affair for Seattle, and he keeps doing the kind of things that Seattle wide receivers do, which is you catch long balls for touchdowns. Okay, cool. All in all, though, again, 43 point total. This one doesn't look very pretty on paper. I'm definitely going nowhere near Mike Thomas or any of the pass catchers for the Saints here. Not interested. Not interested. You know, we know Michael Thomas. He needs like 14 targets, 13 receptions to make value. And I don't think Teddy KGB is good enough to have that sort of connection with any player. That's a Drew Brees thing only. So Michael Thomas and the role he plays, that's a big no-no for me. The other two guys, Teddy Ginn, I mean, you're hoping for a miracle with Traquan, the chef, trying to get there. So
the chef, I like that.
Traquan the chef, hell yeah. So you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't trust any of these people on New Orleans, especially Kamara on the road, where we don't know what his workload is going to be. You have to pay almost the same price as you would for an actual stud running back on this. I mean, am I going to pay more for Alvin Kamara? Let me break this down. He's more expensive than Cook, than Eckler, than Le'Veon Bell, than Aaron Jones, the aforementioned Marlon Mack. I'm not paying that. And if I'm not paying that for Alvin Kamara and his 17 touches without Drew Brees. He's bad enough on the road traditionally anyway, but without Drew Brees, I'm not saying he can't go off. He could, but it's not for me.
You know, a quick anecdotal story you were talking about before. Ryan said that Teddy Bridgewater playing behind a Brett Favre type guy that never gets injured. You know, for years, the interesting story is that they couldn't ever find a backup QB for Brett Favre. One, because he never missed games. So every year they would have to beg a backup QB to come to Green Bay, because who the hell wants to live in Green Bay and know they're not going to play? Do you know who the backup for many years in the early 90s for Brett Favre was, who they actually got to do it?
Was it Matt Hasselbeck? One of the Hasselbeck brothers?
No. It was a little known backup QB who is now a head coach in the NFL named Doug Peterson.
Ah, nice.
So they used to do a contract on the phone. Him and Andrew Brandt, who was the GM, no agent, just said, "Hey, what do you want? A couple mil? All right, I'll come there and I'll live in Green Bay for a year." Interesting little story.
In Green Bay, you need to pay me a couple mil to live there.
Yeah, well, and they did my ass off.
And says, "Let me. I'll save you some money here. So, I would go with your max bid on Seattle, but wait till Sunday to make it.
Because you think the points are gonna? I'm gonna get more points.
Yeah. So it when we started broadcasting, it was at 4.5. It's already down to 4. I could see this going down to 3, maybe even 2.5 by game time.
All right,
and then you can definitely load up.
Right. So if I have a feeling, let the market squeeze out the value.
Exactly.
The All sharp. Right. There is money coming in on the Saints.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that wraps up the main slate. Do you want to talk about Sunday night?
Yeah, we could do Sunday night.
Okay. LA Rams.
Got a couple minutes left.
Yep. LA Rams are going to go to Cleveland. You know, it's amazing what Odell Beckham can do with a QB that can actually not hang him out to dry. Cleveland getting 3 at home. I'm confused by this line. Ryan, break it down for me, man.
What are you confused about? What do you like? What do you see?
I think that Cleveland is still not right yet. Just because you looked good against the defenseless Jets.
Are the Rams right, though?
They're on still... The flip side. Yeah, I mean, they have all their weapons. Cooper Kupp broke the long run last week. The running game's fine. I mean, I know the offensive line's a little banged up. The Rams are a good team. They're well coached. Cleveland's still trying to find its identity and get over being get over the high expectations. I thought Cleveland would get at least 3.5.
Yeah, so this line actually opened the Rams -1, and so it's moved to 3 already. And we're seeing actually a lot of sharp action on 3 on the Browns side. So people are wanting that 3 number, but they definitely see kind of the Rams winning. Most of the money, most of the bets are on the Rams. So that's kind of where I would expect it. The total's going down. I think what people are discounting is that the Rams' offense is not as good as it was a year ago. It's easy to catch up to what McVay is doing as what we saw in the playoffs. And so they're not going to score as many points. Cleveland's defense is good. The Rams' defense is pretty good. So I don't expect a lot of points to be scored in this game. More just defensive and in a close game to watch.
So if you were putting your own money on this game, which side do you like at the 3?
So I have 2 rules. So one is, being a Rams fan, I'll probably place a homer bet. But 2, I decided that whoever signed Kareem Hunt, I would bet against them in every single game they played. And so as the Browns signed him, I will take the Rams for another unit.
I need to ask you on this. Was it the push down?
It was the kick. Kick?
It was the kick for you too. Yeah. Okay. It's not just me. I don't want to come off as an asshole from what I said earlier.
She was down. He did not need to kick her.
Okay. All right. Fair. That's all I needed to know. I needed to clarify that for
myself. In all fairness, and I don't advocate any violence against anyone, especially women, the word was that she, you know, that there was a racial slur.
It doesn't matter. None of it justifies.
It really doesn't matter at all. Nothing justifies any of it.
Yeah. Totally agree. Just putting it out there that it wasn't just like, hey, what are you doing? You know, it was a heated situation that I'm sure many parties wish they had back, and it was a terrible thing. And not to digress, but yeah, okay. So you're betting against the Kareem Hunt karma. Yeah, I mean, Geek, where's the fantasy value? What the hell is going on with Baker Mayfield? What a disappointment so far for fantasy.
Listen, this game features 2 teams that are fantasy disappointments, and I'm putting the Rams on that list. It's not just the Browns. Eventually, these teams are going to turn it around. This is the thing. The season starts up. Some of these teams are out of sync. They didn't really practice in a true way. They don't allow them to practice. Players, union, rules, and all of that. So a lot of teams offensively start off just not in sync. Now, obviously, that didn't affect the Ravens or the Chiefs, but it's affecting these 2 teams. So, like, Goff has been shit. Baker Mayfield not looking great. I mean, if you could barely squeak by a reasonable game against the New York Jets, and there are no secondary whatsoever team, this Rams secondary is elite. So we're talking about Aqib Talib going to be covering Odell Beckham Jr., not some shitty guy on the Jets who was working at the supermarket 3 weeks ago. You're talking about Aqib Talib. You're talking about, I'm not a Marcus Peters believer, but he's not bad, I guess. You know, they have a good secondary on this Rams team, and eventually these teams are going to turn around, but it's too fucking scary to put my DFS money onto it in a main slate. Now, the reason I'm talking about this as part of a main slate is because Fantasy Draft, our sponsor for this podcast, Rake Free DFS, is awesome. Their slate includes the Sunday night game, so you will have choices from this game in when you're making your Fantasy Draft lineups going after their Sunday Million contest, which is freaking awesome and has had overlay every single week since the start of the year. If you're not playing in it, I don't know why you do DFS. But as far as the players from this game, nothing interests me. I don't like Gurley. I don't want Chubb in this spot. I don't think it's a good spot for him. I don't like any of those other guys. I don't like any of these wide receivers. Cooper Kupp? Maybe. But outside of him, I don't trust Cooks. I don't trust Woods. He hasn't done shit. The 6.2 points last week, you had to pay up for that. Odell Beckham, do I want to pay all the way up for Odell Beckham? He's going to get covered by... Should I pay up for Odell Beckham? And is Aqib Talib good enough to cover him? Says, you tell me.
I think that it doesn't matter how good the cornerback is. Odell Beckham is a generational talent. Not only is he the guy that could take the slant to the house, usually you could do one of two things if you're an elite receiver. You could take that slant to the house, or you can wrestle balls away from defenders on the sideline and toe tap. Like DeAndre Hopkins, the most elite hands toe tapper in the NFL. He'll get caught from behind on that slant play. Odell Beckham can do both. He takes the slant to the house. Great toe tapper, one-handed catcher, wrestling the ball away. He's an elite. Doesn't matter who's covering him. He's uncoverable.
All right. So with that being said, for our DFS lineups, if I have the choice of every single player on the slate, not a single game, if I have a choice of every single player and I got to pay elite salary for Odell Beckham Jr. at home in this spot, you know, it doesn't attract me as much as maybe like spending that money on, I don't know, Travis Kelce in a better matchup. Right. But that doesn't mean that Odell Beckham isn't going to have a good game. I'm not benching him on my season long fantasy team. Of course, he's Odell Beckham Jr. and he's awesome. And there is some merit to playing low owned super studs in what appears to be bad spots. The one thing that I think this game really, really has going for it is it's a 50 point total. And realistically, there are no other high total games on the slate. Ryan, I'm curious. This one feels like a play to the under to me, man. But, you know, where have either one of these teams shown that they have high scoring potential so far this year? And am I misreading that? Like, what's the deal with the 50 point total on this thing?
No, 90% of the money is on the under. You're exactly right. This game is going to play low scoring. Both defenses are good. So I don't know.
Give me a referee. Why. Is there a holding referee in this thing? Give me some extra. No, nothing.
No, there's nothing. It was just, I think that the Vegas books are opening at 50 or 51 just due to the Rams last year regular season, and as well as the Browns regular season last year. Both of them had top offenses that are now being figured out.
Right. A lot of these lines have the public perception baked in, I think, is what Ryan's saying there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, maybe I'm crazy. I trust the Vegas line more than I trust my own reads on games, so you know.
But what Vegas line, again, has not just the reality, because there's like your own lines that you make, and then there's and Ryan can talk to this a little bit better than I can, but a perfect Vegas line, a Vegas book, if they get 50% of the money on one side and 50% of the money on the other side, that's a moneymaker for them. They always want, so they have to move the line based on where they want the money to go.
Exactly.
So Ryan, tell me, what's the best bet of the week? Give me your best bet of the week after we've covered all these lines here.
I don't have one yet. So everyone, my Beat the Bookie betting model for NFL is going to be updated tomorrow. And so I do all of my bets based on what my model says. So like you, you know, I listen to what the sharps say, but I wait until that model is updated to tell me where the real value is and I attack it. Like
Ryan, if I wanted to join Beat the Bookie, how would I do that?
So you go to
get your models. How do I get access to that?
Get my model. We have an MLB betting model that's been killing it by a cash game pro, Anthony P, in Slack chat. We have NCAA football, which cashed on our massive UCF max bet. We have all those for models. Go to dfsarmy.com/bookie-pricing and use promo code DFSArmySB for 20% off. For life. For $20 off for life. Sorry.
$20 off. If you go to the DFSArmy.com website, there's a little tab up top that says Beat the Bookie. And if you click on that, that's where you can get over to Beat the Bookie to join.
Can you say it again? What was it, Ryan? It was DFSArmy.com
/bookie-pricing.
Okay. Even I can't recall that. Just go to DFSArmy and click on .com and click on Beat the Bookie and you'll find it.
Look, just like that, right?
Oh, there it is. All right, he did.
There
get
you
it.
Go.
So again, if you want to get Ryan's secret algorithm and all his thoughts, which I think, again, I love talking to Ryan because I love seeing what's inside that brain right there. DFSArmy.com. Go ahead, Ryan.
One thing I would say is a lot of betting sites, they'll tell you where the value is. We're going to tell you the actual numbers. So we're going to tell you what we think each team is going to score, and then that's going to impute a spread and a total. Whereas other sites or other betting tout sites, they're just going to tell you which side to take. Right. This one tells you exactly what you want.
The difference is models. In all seriousness, what is Beat the Bookie? In the last year and a half, DFS Army, we expanded over to the Beat the Bookie site.
Ryan taking the lead with his analytical models back tested. And the idea here isn't to have some guy named Vegas Jim or Slick or Jimmy the Greek or, you know, Slick Billy, you know, telling you the hot picks, but rather analytical models that spit out handicapping models, which show value. So if the model is saying 48 point total in this game and the actual line is 50 points, you have value on essentially the under in a bet like that. It doesn't mean you're going to win every single bet, but the goal is to win, you know, 55, 57, 58% of the time when you're following a model like that. So, and over time that will produce a profitable approach. So that's what Beat the Bookie does.
And what I always tell you, the same thing with DFS Army and the bookie portion as well, is that we're not going to make the picks for you. We're going to teach you how to become a better player. And that is so true with the bookie dash pricing and the bookie model. So go check that out. Lastly, our friends at Cut the Cord Streams, we're going to talk more about this, but check out cutthecordstreams.com. If you are sick of paying for cable and you want to get rid of it and you're paying $200 a month for cable, this is a great way where you can get live TV, all the NFL games for just $15 a month. And right now, if you go over there and you give them the code FLEXARMY, you'll get 20% off your first month. And when I tell you get every single channel live TV, this is not a joke. I'm going to get you guys a sample so you can be as passionate about this as I am. I've been using this for about 4 to 5 months now. And Cut the Cord Streams, they have a great Facebook group. Go over there. It's self-explanatory. You just load it right onto your Fire Stick. And for $15 a month, you are in business, man. You are watching all the NFL games. You are watching all the MLB package, the MMA fights, everything. So there's our friends at Cut the Cord Streams. Go give them a visit and check out what's going on over there.
Let me throw out another reason that somebody might want to use this. As a New Yorker, I use Cablevision, right? James Dolan owns Cablevision. Now, I was a Knicks fan at one point in my at many points, but James Dolan has ruined it for me. So it hurts me every single month that I pay that man money to destroy my favorite basketball team.
Yeah, go check them
out,
man.
I want to stop paying James Dolan my cable money.
This is a game changer, a life changer. You get rid of your cable, you keep your internet connection, and you're going to get every station of live TV. Cut the Cord Streams. Their slogan is, what the heck are you waiting for? All right, guys, this was a lot of fun. I think we were efficient with how we attacked this. And anything else, closing thoughts before we roll here? Because I want to make sure that your boy here has got to get out to his referee game. We've said it all to the people. I want to upload this and get it on there so they can listen to it in the car.
I mean, just the last few thoughts across the board on this week, a bunch of low scoring games and one standout game. Very unusual for DFS purposes. We've got injuries galore. It's going to be a game theory potential approach this week. We're going to do chalk. We're going to do game theory. And if anybody's out there, you're not. Hey, number one, like and subscribe to this channel. If you want these videos, we do them all the time. Various things, all DFS and sports betting related. If you want to get signed up for DFS Army as a VIP and get in on the winning, stop losing on FanDuel, DraftKings, Fantasy Draft, and all your favorite daily fantasy sports sites, go to DFSArmy.com. You can use promo code KICKOFF. We've extended it. You get 20% off your membership locked in. That's $39.99 a month. No one gives you what we do for $39.99 a month. Check the other sites. You're going to pay $100, $90, $80 to get optimizer, projections, all the stuff that we do. We cover every sport. If you're into sports gambling, go to DFSArmy.com and click on Beat the Bookie up top and go over to Beat the Bookie. You get sports betting models. You get live odds, all kinds of great stuff. There's an incredible chat where actual sports gambling professionals teach newer people the ins and outs of sports gambling. Shit, I've had to learn it. I am not a sports gambler. I don't come from that background, but Ryan and a lot of the guys over at Beat the Bookie have taught me a lot of different things about things that I've integrated. When you watch my pods now, when I talk about implied probabilities, I use sports bet. I use implied probabilities, touchdown implied probabilities, player prop probabilities in my daily fantasy sports play all the time. So get in there. Good stuff. Good luck, everybody, this week. I will be back with some DFS Army subscriber only podcast later in the week, breaking down the DFS slate in further detail.
And may all your players' ACLs stay healthy.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff.